Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Friday, November 4th, 2022. Okay, it's 11:54 in the morning Eastern Time. Markets are basically flat right now after being up earlier. We have the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.21%, the S&P 500 up 0.11%, and the NASDAQ Composite down 0.22%. Basically, what's happened is we had a labor report released today for the month of October. Basically showed that the economy is still strong. Jobs are being created. However, we also have a rise in unemployment. Now, I've talked about the unemployment rate on previous sessions, but I will talk about that again in the future. But bottom line, how do we have an economy that's producing, I believe the number was around 263,000 jobs, and yet the unemployment rate went up? Well, the definition of unemployment is not actually being out of work. It's out of work and actively looking for a job. And sometimes that number can vary for various reasons. So we'll talk about that another day. But basically, the unemployment rate is now up to 3.7%, which is actually a positive news for the market because that's generally still low. But it then takes some pressure off the Federal Reserve to continue to raise interest rates, try to slow the economy down. And we'll be talking about the Federal Reserve and its policy statement it released on Wednesday in just a couple of minutes. All right, so anyway, but the economy did add 261,000 jobs last month. That is down from 315,000, but it was somewhat higher than the expectations. So a mixed report. Okay, I got reports that Twitter is being sued in class action lawsuits by its employees. The company is doing massive layoffs, and I guess under federal and California law, large companies have to wait. Have to give 60 days notice. So we'll have to, see what goes on with that. But it could be a violation of labor law there. So we got some massive layoffs going on over at Twitter. Okay, so what are we going to talk about today? Well, we'll talk about the Federal Reserve here in just a minute. I had a question the other day about the future outlook for the U.S. economy. It's actually strong, perhaps some of the strongest we've had in decades, and I'll give you the reasons why here in just a minute. Not saying we couldn't go into a recession, in 2023, particularly with the rise in interest rates, but it probably wouldn't be a very severe recession, and there's a lot of factors going into place right now that's just probably going to be a boom time for the U.S. economy. So we'll talk about that. And I've been talking to, I started the last session to talk about stock trading order types. And today I'm going to talk a little more about the most simple and basic one, the market order. But even as basic as it is, there's a few things to still know about that. So we'll talk about that also. Okay, so the Federal Reserve, I've talked about this on numerous sessions. Central banking system of the United States, it answers to Congress, basically told to do three things: keep the economy of the United States growing as quickly as possible, making sure that everybody in this country that wants a job has one at the level they're trained to do it, commensurate pay, and keep inflation under control. Inflation is a continuous rise in prices. Just for a note, today prices are about 26 times higher than they were 100 years ago, 1922. So on average, if something costs a dollar in 1922, it costs $26 today. Okay. So basically, grow the economy, provide jobs, and keep inflation under control. Well, the first two go opposite against the third. So here's basically how it works. When the Federal Reserve, or the Fed as it's called, its main focus is on growing the economy and providing jobs, it tends to influence interest rates downwards and increase the money supply. Banks have more money to lend. 70% of the U.S. economy's consumer spending tends to benefit the economy. So if it's that easy, then why doesn't the Fed just keep interest rates low all the time and have a large money supply. Well, if you do too much of that for too long, it tends to bring back inflation. Now, inflation causes all kinds of problems because you have individuals don't want to invest for the future. Like, what's the money going to be worth? Same with businesses not wanting to invest for the future. Banks begin raising interest rates to cover expected inflation. Makes big ticket items like homes and automobiles more expensive to buy. We have individuals, a lot of 401k retirement accounts or stock-based mutual funds, and the stock market starts going down as investors sell stocks to buy bonds, which are loans to governments or corporations, because the interest rates are higher. So inflation creates all kinds of issues. So basically, in a nutshell, what happened is in March of 2020, when the economy shut down due to COVID, the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates, the amount they lend to banks, to basically zero, and began pumping $750 billion a month into the economy. It's called quantitative easing. And it did do a lot to stabilize the economy. Then when the economy began to reopen in April 2021, we suddenly saw a spike in interest rates. Now, the Federal Reserve thought that was temporary related to a reopening of the economy. They actually used the word transitory. But then what happened is the inflation has stuck around. So what the Federal Reserve has been doing now for the last few months, it's changed its focus. It is now, its main focus now is on battling inflation. So what it's doing, it's raising interest rates to try to slow the economy down, and it is decreasing the money supply. So as loans are paid off, not as many new ones can be made. Well, this has been causing a lot of confusion for the stock markets because they're just not sure what the Fed is going to do going forward in the future, you know, what amount of interest rates, how high are the rate increases going to be, how many, and so forth. All right. Federal Reserve has a committee called the Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC. They meet 8 times a year, and they have 2-day meetings. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time on the second day, they release a policy statement. So I'm just going to read a couple of sentences to you here and focus on the key things. Okay, so basically, if you ever want to look at this, you can go to the website, federalreserve.gov, click on monetary policy. It's one of the headings up top. And then after you go there, under monetary policy, you just click on meeting calendars and information. Scroll down to the one you want to look at. The meeting was this week, so I'm talking about it. They have it as PDF and HTML. I like the PDF version. I'm just used to it. So anyway, all right. So bottom line, how you read this, it's not a long statement, but the key is understanding Fed talk. The Federal Reserve doesn't just come out and say what they're going to do. You got to kind of read into it. So the first paragraph, they're basically summarizing the current situation. The key is actually the last sentence in the second paragraph, and here's what it says. The committee is highly attentive to inflation risk. All right, that's not a surprise, but that basically says the Federal Reserve's main focus is still on battling inflation versus growing the economy. Okay, then they go on about they raised interest rates by 0.75%. That was expected. But there's a key sentence here in the third paragraph, about halfway in. Here it is. And this is what the market focused on. I'm going to read it to you. In determining the pace of future increases in the target range, the committee will take into account the cumulative tightening of monetary policy. In other words, what that's saying is the previous rate increases. Next, they say the lags with which monetary policy affects economic activity. Okay, when the Federal Reserve makes a change to interest rates or the money supply, they don't see the results for about 9 to 15 months. So that's what they're saying there with the lag. And they continue on and inflation and economic and financial developments. In other words, as more data comes in. So basically, that was not unexpected to the market. The Federal Reserve may be looking to take a pause now. Let's see how the previous rate increases affect the economy. They don't want to do too much and throw the economy into a recession, but basically, the market was hoping for a stronger statement that the Federal Reserve might be going to pause, but they just basically said they're going to just look at things. So anyway, all right, so that's what we had there. And so that's one of the just brief summary of what went on with the Federal Reserve's policy meeting. Okay, I've seen a lot of, individuals in the news over the last year, year and a half, saying the economy's about to go into a deep recession, whatever. You know, you hear that all the time. According to these so-called financial experts, we should already be in a deep recession based on what they are saying. A recession is a shrinking of the U.S. economy over two consecutive calendar quarters, yet we're not. Even with the high inflation, consumers are continuing to spend and the economy is still strong. We have still almost record number of jobs available, 10.7 million. Unemployment rate, even though it went up a little bit, is still relatively low. Jobs are being created, they're not being lost on a net basis. Things are still strong. So now, I'm not saying we may not go into a recession, particularly with the higher interest rates. However, if it is, it's going to be, I think, relatively mild. I had a question recently about, you know, what is the outlook for the U.S. economy? It's actually really strong, strongest in decades. So here are some reasons why the economy is potentially now in the strongest situation it's been in a long time. All right, first of all, the United States has the youngest workforce in the world, and that is a significant advantage. It's actually getting younger. Our workforce is actually getting younger. We have a younger population than most of the other economic powers of the world. Their populations, on average, are getting older due to lower childbirth rates. China in particular, China and Japan, Germany's another one. But we have a young workforce. It's actually getting younger. Now, I'm not going to start a debate on immigration, you know, legal or otherwise, but people that come to the United States, however they come here, come at a relatively young age, and that does contribute to a younger workforce, so among other factors. Natural gas. United States is one of the world's largest producers of natural gas, an energy fuel. And what happens is Russia actually was supplying most natural gas to Europe. They cut off the supplies due to the Ukraine war. Well, the United States has been able to step up. You know, it's actually easier to ship natural gas from a pipeline from Russia than put it on ships from the United States. But the United States has delivered so much natural gas that I'm told the ships are just sitting offshore waiting to unload. Going forward, even if the Russian-Ukraine war ended tomorrow, I don't think Europe's ever going to go back to fully relying on Russian gas, natural gas, oil, and so forth. I think that's opened a massively big new market now for the United States. So that's another thing that's going to contribute to a growing economy. Due to the supply chain issues, which are unwinding, but there's still a lot of companies say they won't unwind till 2023. We have a lot of companies are starting to set manufacturing facilities up, supply facilities here in the United States. Chip manufacturing's moved back here, lots of things. And that's going to be a benefit to the economy. We're no longer going to rely on things coming from China and other places that could be disrupted. We are seeing massive now investments in U.S. production, so that's going to help the economy. During COVID, a lot of people started their own businesses. That's partly why we still have a labor shortage. And what happens over time, these new businesses drive the U.S. economy. The ones that will succeed are going to grow, and they also tend to be more cutting edge with technological advancements, as well as just process advancements and so forth. That's another big factor. Technology in general, the United States is more and more using advanced technology to develop a more efficient and effective economy. That is another massive advantage. And finally, two of our biggest rivals in the world, Russia and China, are now weakened possibly for decades to come. Russia's economy is not going to recover anytime soon. I just mentioned the natural gas, fuel issues, many other things. China is having all kinds of issues. The government is starting to clamp down on free market economy due to rising protests. They got all kinds of issues over there. COVID issues they can't get under control. They've got a lot of issues over the aging population. There are indications China's economy is actually shrinking while the U.S. economy is continuing to grow. So basically, those are some of the reasons that we may have a very strong economy going forward. Again, young workforce, increased natural gas supplies, markets, also oil, also supply chains moving closer to home. New businesses being created, increasing technology, and Russia and China's relative weakness. All right, so the last thing today, A market order. Okay, stock markets are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What a market order is, it simply says buy something at the current price. So I'll pick a stock here. We'll just pick somebody here. Who are we going to pick? We'll pick IBM today. Okay, so IBM. All right. So the markets are open right now. IBM's at $135.27 a share. So if you have a brokerage account, I'll talk another day about, you know, how to open brokerage accounts and why you probably want one. You can buy stock directly from the companies, but it's real tedious. All right, let's look at IBM. $135.37 a share. So let's say you wanted to buy 10 shares of IBM, 10, 100, whatever. You have a brokerage account, sign on to it with your phone, computer, however you do it. Go to the trade screen, and you want to buy 10 shares of IBM. Okay, so one of your options is a market order. So you go ahead and send it across 10 shares, 130 at market, and it should fill pretty quickly. Most stocks, actually, what they do, they fill through an automated system called an automated execution system. Your phone or computer sends an order to your brokerage firm, sends it to what's called a market maker. And then what happens is the order is actually filled by their computer. Sometimes the brokerage firm's inventory too. They send it back to your computer. I'll explain the whole process another day. But anyway, so it should come back within just a few seconds. And, you know, you should pay about that. So $135.37 a share times 10 shares. Yeah, the trade would cost you $1,353.70 plus whatever commissions the firms might charge. Okay. Now, normally this works well and good, but actually when I talked about how to read stock prices the other day, there's actually two prices for a stock, a buying price and selling price. So even though most everyone concentrates on the last trade, you actually want to look at bid and ask. Bid is the price that you can sell a stock at. Ask is what you can buy it at. Now, I happen to be looking at the bid and ask right now, and what it's showing is $135.35 on the bid, $135.37 on the ask. So you would actually be paying the asking price, the current asking price. So normally, you know, it's not a big deal. There's not going to be enough of a lag where it's going to be a big deal. But here's where you got to be careful with market orders. Sometimes you have thinly traded stocks. I'll give you an idea. Maybe, particularly with low price stocks, penny stocks, any kind of thinly traded stock, you might see a last trade at, say, $15 a share. And you think, oh, that's what I'll pay for it. And you put it in to buy 100 shares and it comes back at $16 a share. What happened? Well, that was actually the asking price when you put the order in. That $15 trade was 4 hours ago. So you got to be careful there. You got to look at the bid and the ask. Also, you want to look at what's called the spread between the bid and the ask. This is a problem we see with low price stocks, penny stocks. You might see a bid of a penny, ask a 10 cents. Okay, so you go ahead and buy that stock, a market order. You're paying 10 cents a share for that stock, and yet the most anyone's willing to give you for that stock at that time is a penny a share. It has to go up 10 times in value for you to break even. All right, so anyway, that's a little bit on market orders. You got to be careful. Pay attention to the asking price. Now, what I will talk about in the next session, what about placing orders when the markets are closed, market orders? You have to be real careful with that. Stocks do not especially open at the same price they close at, but there are ways to protect yourself, what are called or better orders. So I will talk about those on the next session. Anyway, hope everyone's doing well. Bill Thompson, T-Bell, and I'll talk to everyone again soon. Take care. See ya.